This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So here we are, 2018. It's time to kind of recap the previous year. So best of the rest, top 10 for each of us. So I guess that makes it a top 20, unless they overlap.
Well, I'm sure there will be some overlap. We've already predicted that we both have the same number one favorite book. So, but I think there will be plenty of diversity, I think, to keep us going. But yeah, it's like a new year. So,
all right, Jay. Well, how do we want to do this? We want to, like, you want to go work our way down to number one, or start with number one and work our way to a higher number?
We want to leave the number one to last. You know, it creates suspense amongst our listeners, our many listeners. I think we're up to 37 now. I think we have 37 regular listeners to the podcast.
All right. Well, as long as we get to 42, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's all I'm caring. 40 or more. Are you drinking anything?
All right. So, I was going to, but I wanted to make sure I was sober for any technology mishaps.
All right. Well, that's good. You can be the sober one. Actually, I'm just...
Well, I mean...
I'm not. I'm having a slightly, ever so slightly dirty martini.
Ooh, okay. Well, I saw the gimlets from, like, last month, and I was trying to remember what goes into a gimlet. So enlighten me on the gimlet real quick.
A gimlet is, well, pure gimlet would be gin with a simple syrup and lime juice.
That is why I've never had one.
A lot of people will use that roses, sweetened lime juice. A purist will make his own simple syrup out of just sugar and water and fresh lime juice. But that is probably my favorite cocktail. And then a martini would be second to that.
Yeah, I've just never done much gin in my life. Now, my wife loves a Tanqueray and tonic.
Tanqueray is good. This gin tonight is Boodle's London Dry Gin, imported. So.
Ooh, fancy.
Yes, anyway.
So, yeah. Yeah, my whole Christmas, New Year's thing was mostly wine. Didn't even break out any whiskey.
I like wine, but too much of it, yeah.
Well, me and my wife and the sister-in-law went through 5 bottles in 2 nights, so.
That would leave me, yeah, not good. I would have, I never have hangovers for anything but wine, and wine's, well, I feel it the next day.
All right, but I think we've kept everybody in enough suspense, so let's get this top 10 going. So you have your number one, but your other 9 are in no particular order. I actually kind of ordered mine, so I will be counting down from 10. So it'll just offer a little mix, and I'm hoping it at least keeps Nick entertained.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I don't know. I guess probably the way I would do it is just you read one of yours, and I'll read one of mine, and then if we have an overlap, then we'll, of course, we've discussed that.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it and everything like that. Right. So, let us see. Oh, and I guess part of my rules that I did for my list is I couldn't have anything from the big two. And I think that was about it. So I kind of picked from everything else except for DC and Marvel.
Yeah, I did too. As much as I wanted to, if I could have figured out a way to get Batman White Knight on the list, I would have, because that's...
Well, then it would have been number 10, Batman. Number 9, Batman. Number 8,
well,
Batman.
That's
number 7, Batman.
Not entirely true, but there's some to that, some truth to it.
It's just this, which versions of Batman. But anyway, all right. So for my number 10 out of my top 10 for the whole year, I actually fudged a bit. And so I grouped all of the hard case crime Millennium books together, which was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Kicked a Hornet's Nest, and The Girl Who Played with Fire. Because I think they're all linked together as one thing. So I put those all together as my number 10.
Okay.
Just because I'd never seen the movies, I've never read the books or anything, but I found myself anticipating these once I read the first one. And I think the second volume of The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest has yet to come out. And I'm eagerly anticipating that. I did not expect that from these, so I really enjoyed them, and I think they're a great value for the money. At $5.99 each, you get so much comic.
Yeah, they're about 60 pages for each issue. So, yeah, it is a good one. And, well, one of my top 10 was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I didn't lump all three of them together. I picked that one because it was the first, and I just really enjoyed it. And I didn't pick the other one because The Girl with the Hornet's Nest isn't complete yet, which they don't have to be complete, but I just decided for that, choose that one. But it is a very, very good comic, adapted from the novels, the trilogy of novels that came out a few years ago. And they've made a film out of the first one. I don't know if they've made a film out of the second one yet.
No, they haven't. I think there was even an earlier comic from, like, Dark Horse or somebody of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But for some reason, I don't know, the hard case crime one just, you know, has been where it finally enticed me enough to kind of pick it up.
Yeah.
And I think it's because you can get the whole story in two oversized issues, as opposed to where you're going to see most, like Dark Horse, or somebody's going to do it over six issues or a 12 issue maxi series or something like that.
Exactly. Now I like the way they're doing it.
I think they picked the perfect format and the perfect length, where you can sit down and you get half the story. It ends on a cliffhanger, and then you just get the next issue in a month or two, and you finish it up.
Yes.
Because there's a lot that goes on in them, and it's nice not to have it spread out so you can remember it, because, you know, I'm not familiar with all the names, and there's a bunch of names and relationships, and they're kind of thrillers, so you got a lot of details you got to pay attention to.
Exactly. And the names are not the easiest, because this is a Scandinavian setting, and so, yeah, some of the names are a little bit tricky, especially trying to keep up with them. So the format works well, and they've Hardcase has done that with some of their other books as well, and I like the way they're doing it. I like everything Hardcase is doing right now.
Yeah, it's just starting to get a little bit painful in the pocketbook. I'm going to have to figure out a digital ways or some kind of subscription or DCBS or something.
Well, I know some of them are on Hoopla.
Oh, yeah, they eventually end up, but I want them now.
Well, I'll hold that thought. Because I'll talk about it more later. But.
Okay. All right. So that was one of yours, too. So you want me to go to my number 9?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or do you want to throw one out? Okay, my number 9 was Shaolin Cowboy, Who'll Stop the Rain?
Good one. That's a good one.
And that was from, I believe that was published by Dark Horse, and it's written in by Darrow, and I think the art's by Darrow. And I think I remember hearing his detail is much more palatable than Juan Jose Reap's detail, even though I think they're both highly detailed.
Yes, and the difference between, I really, really like Darrow's art, and I'm not, as you know, not that big a fan of Reap's. But
the Shaolin Cowboy, you got to suspend some of the belief on that, because I think the main antagonist in this six issue series, or was it four issues? I bet it's four issues. Is Killer Crab, who is a Nazi crab who's after Shaolin Cowboy because he was minding himself peacefully in a fish tank in a restaurant, and the Shaolin Cowboy came in and ate the rest of his family at the all-you-can-eat
yes.
seafood bar, and hence he vowed revenge on the Shaolin Cowboy.
Yes. And it's also, if you're a fan of flying flatulent pigs, you'll like this comic book series. It's a little teaser there from one issue.
Oh, yeah. It's got all you can eat. Did that make your top 10?
No, it did not. It did not. It was a good one, but it didn't make my top 10.
Oh, I am thoroughly enjoyed it. I got Shaolin Cowboy when it first came out in the mid, I can't remember if it was the late 90s or early 2000s with Burly Man Comics.
Yeah, this was my first exposure to Shaolin Cowboy, and I enjoyed it. It was quite good, quite good.
Okay. So, what's another one of yours?
Another one of mine was The Forevers from Black Mask.
So we're going to include Black Mask because I sat there and thought about it, but only having a couple of issues or having so many months between issues.
Well, I chose this one because it was number one. It was just really good. Four issues came out pretty quickly. Yeah, the fifth one is still hanging out there, and it's as everyone who is if you've listened to any of this podcast, any of our old podcasts, knows that I have a love hate relationship with Black Mask. It's becoming more of a hate relationship because I'm getting very tired of their release schedule, which they don't have one. They don't have a release
schedule. Yeah, I was about to say, is there a schedule?
No, there's not. It's just, and stuff comes out, it's like, I know you and I talked about Cal Exit.
Yes, y'all talked me into getting that, and I got the first issue, and it's like, this is great! And
it was.
7 months later, where's issue two?
But I should have known better, because the author is the same author, Pizzolo, who did Young Terrorist, and he did the same damn thing. The first issue of that came out, and then nothing for like 20 months. And then the second one comes out. So I'm not buying anything else by him. And
issue two comes out.
Yeah, but The Forevers is a weird story. It's in Britain, set in Britain, about these group of people. In the first issue, they're out in this wilderness somewhere. And they're taking this pact, and something happens. It's not really clear what happens, but something supernatural descends on these people and sort of gives them some sort of powers. But you don't really see what's happening. They don't really demonstrate these things. You just kind of know this is happening. It just sort of implies this. And then starting in the subsequent issues, these people are being killed off systematically, one by one. You don't know who. And you really don't know why. And it's just this extreme. It'll frustrate a lot of people because there's not a lot of answers that come up in those first four issues. But it's a good story. And the artwork is unusual in that it's almost like painted art instead of drawn. A lot of close-up of their faces. You see, so you get a lot of panels of just the person's face. And their dialogue, it's really different. I know I talked to Ronnie a little bit about it months ago. He was reading it. He thought it was good, but also kind of interesting on the art. It's definitely different than what you're used to, but I thought it was a good comic book. This is one of my favorite reads. I'm hesitant to recommend it to anyone because, like I say, the fifth issue hasn't come out, and it's been months, so...
Well, you got four issues out.
Four issues are out. But they didn't finish the story.
Or is it ongoing?
Yes.
If it's ongoing,
I think it's a limited series, but it's either five. I think five is it, what they planned. But that fifth issue hasn't shown up yet.
Hanging in the wind.
So.
Okay. No, I'm going to check
that out. I was just really intrigued with it. It like I say, if you like stories that aren't clear-cut, which I do, mm-hmm. If you like stories that are very complicated and convoluted, which I do, if you like art that's not the standard, it's very bold and experimental, like I do, then all those things are what really intrigued me about that title.
Well, you know what? I may wait till the fifth issue comes out and go see if I can find them.
Yeah. And another thing, I know a lot of people will talk about, I'll just wait for in regards to Black Mask, a lot of people will say, I'll just wait for the trade paperback. The problem is they don't put all of their titles in trade. They've done a few, but others they've not done.
So oh, yeah.
You don't know.
Did they do that for local comic book day, and they were like $30 each?
Yeah, but that was dictated more by whoever the sponsor was for comic book day, or local comic shop day. I can't remember who it was.
No,
they sort of dictated it. All the hardcovers would have to be $30. So.
Yeah, I keep seeing those Secret Weapons hardcovers from Free Comic Book Day in a few places, and I keep thinking about picking it up, but for $30 for a four-issue series?
Yeah, and the, like I said, the Black Mask books, the quality was not that great. Certainly not worth that price. So.
Okay. All right, so we got our Black Mask on there. All right. So for me, my number 8 book of the year was one that's been going for a couple of years and a few iterations, but I really like where it's at now, and it's War Stories by Garth Ennis from Avatar Press. So that is Garth Ennis's sweet spot, is war comics. He does a lot of World War II, but he also does some of the others. I think I've read a few that were like Vietnam, some that was Korea. I don't know if he's done a World War I yet, but he kind of primarily focuses on World War II, and he does different aspects of it that you don't see. Like currently, the current arc that we're in now is about a fighter squadron in Italy, and it's just right after, I think, it starts out the arc where they capture some Italian pilots, and you find out there's, you know, a couple of them and all that. They really didn't want to be fighting the war. They didn't really want to be on that side. And you know, one of the guys lost his wife, and he's kind of, you know, just being there. And, you know, and he kind of helps the Americans talk other Italians into kind of surrendering to the Americans. And then I think there's an aspect of once it looked like Italy was going to be taken from the Axis, that a lot of the Italians sided with the Allies, and they were making other different fighter squadrons and such that were Allies instead of Axis. And you're kind of seeing all that, and then how the Americans are interacting and things. And it's just really good. I know the arc that I kind of remember the most is an arc where they're talking about the PT boats between occupied France and England. And so there's this cat and mouse game between, and it was almost kind of like a reenactment on PT boats, but of the Red Baron and the Allies, because there was this one PT boat for the Germans that would stalk and kill the British ones, and there was this whole thing about getting this one German PT boat. And but I never knew there was like these PT boat battles between, you know, England and Germany and occupied France, but it makes sense. But it, you know, it's going in and all that, so it's just some just really good arcs and stories of not well-known aspects of, you know, the world wars and the other wars that have, you know, occurred, I think, primarily in the 20th century. And I know he goes in and he does a lot of research on these before he starts writing them. And you can know it's one of his passions, so they're just done so well. The art is adequate. It's actually pretty good, some of them. I haven't had one that's like really bad art where I just kind of like, But, you know, some of it's a little rough, but it's mostly the storytelling and the writing that brings me into that series, and I've really enjoyed them quite a bit. And the added bonus is they do a variant cover where it's like nose art from like World War II bombers, and I'm I really kind of love the pinups and the nose art from the 40s. So that's just an added bonus for me for getting the floppies.
That is nice. I like Garth, and I'm not familiar with this particular series. I should read more of his because I do love the history, especially war histories and alternative histories that he wrote. I'm surprised I don't read more of his work, but I'm not. He's not been on my radar much the last few years.
All right. So what's another one of yours?
Another one of mine is The Chair by Peter Cimetti.
Oh, that's this is Alterna.
It's one of the Alterna newsprint comics that came out last year that have become wildly popular. Are doing very well. It's a 4-issue miniseries. I think the last one's out. now. I think it's came out. Yeah, or it's about to come out. It was originally released, I think, as a digital only. Alterna does a lot of those. But they re-released this one, several other titles they re-released this past year in newsprint at, you know, $1 and $1.50 cover price, which I've really been supporting you in that. But this is an extremely dark story about a man who's put in prison on death row, who's not guilty. And it's the story of what's going on in this prison. He's becomes subject of a sadistic warden who likes to perform these bizarre tortures and experiments on people. And the artwork on this is extremely different. It's black and white. It's a monochrome comic. And it was done with these real heavy pencils and inks. The word balloons are reversed from what they typically are. It's a black word balloon with white lettering. But it really fits the story. It really fits the story, the gloominess of this tale. And it was just an extremely good story, I thought. And, you know, four issues, and I think this one was $1.50. You know, it's hard to not, you can't go wrong with that. It's a good read, good value for your money.
Oh, yeah, I think I've read the first couple of issues for it, and I haven't seen the remaining issues pop up in some of the LCSs I pop into. So I may have to go check and see if some more of them are out. But, yeah, it was an interesting read. It is very different. And the newsprint is kind of nostalgic, I will say that. It doesn't quite rub off onto your fingers like the old ones did. But
no, but you still got the smell. The smell is there. They recreated that. And the smell of newsprint comics, yeah. Very nostalgic.
All right. Okay, so my number 7 is an IDW published. And it's Star Trek New Visions. And it's comes out every other month or quarterly, I can't remember, but it's a $7.99 comic. But it's I've already blanked on exactly what it's called. It's like a photo vision, I think is what it's called. But it's written, and I'm going to say art with air quotes, by John Byrne. So, you know, he's pretty good in his own case. But what he does is he takes footage from the original series, you know, the 3 years it was, 3 seasons it was on, and he takes images and he cuts out backgrounds and he cuts out characters, and he makes entirely new stories and episodes based solely on the captured images from the original series. So it's photos of Shatner and photos of Nimoy and photos of DeForest Kelly that he's captured in the right poses and the right angles to where he's telling whole new stories. And occasionally he'll have, you know, he'll insert some art or some kind of Photoshop effects onto them if they've got different kind of breathers or other apparatus and all that. But, you know, he's creating these complete new, like, episodes, and they read just like the episodes from the 60s. And he names them the same way, where there's these deep philosophical, you know, episode titles, and it's, you know, it's all the morals and everything. So he's completely captured the original series in these, you know, and they're about 64 pages, $7.99, just really good stuff. I mean, like, I think the last issue was they were coming to a planet, and It was like, you know, mid-21st century technology, and it had about 200 years worth of dust on it, and everything was dead on it. And they kind of felt something that was draining their life force. And then they found there was another planet, and then another planet. And so Sulu's, like, tracked the trajectory, and they catch up to this, like, ship, you know, and they beam aboard, and they just go through the whole thing. And it this really recaptures, you know, what it was like, the original Star Trek, and it's just really great. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Sounds fun. That does sound fun.
Oh, it
I'm
is.
I'm a big fan of the original Star Trek.
I think they actually they did an annual like a year or two ago, and it was like a follow-up to the Menagerie or the Cage. I can't remember which. I think it was the Cage, actually. But it's great because now they're delving into like when Nurse Chapel left. Now she's come back and the repercussions of all that and da 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 da. Some of the stuff you didn't get after the third season. And you see, and there's like issues where it's dealing with Chekhov rising through the ranks from engineering into, you know, being on the helm. Because I don't think Chekhov was in the first season. He was in the second season on the bridge. So what they're doing is they're doing some where they show him why you never saw him in the first season or so. Oh, it's just really good. And he captured the voices of them all, and it's just really great. It's a fun reading. I usually save it for last because it's a thick book, and I want to spend time looking at it because all the panels are screen captured basically from the original series.
Nice. Very nice. I have to check that out. I'm writing that down because I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's IDW, so. But like I said, they can get kind of a little pricey, but it's on good. It's like glossy cardstock, heavy cardstock. I'm trying to think here. What's it called? He's calling them photo plays. That's what it is. So, John Byrne, it's a photo play. New Visions.
Interesting. Okay. Got it. I'll check that out.
I think there's a couple of collected editions out there, or a couple of trades, basically. And they're going to be thick trades.
Very good. Very good. Well, the next one on my list is another hard case crime. I'll be somewhat surprised if it's not on your list. That's Normandy Gold.
It was probably in my top 15, but it didn't make it to my top 10.
This is a really enjoyable book. Megan Abbott is the author, Allison Galen, the artist. And it's, you know, the protagonist is this woman, Normandy Gold, who's a sheriff out in Wyoming. A very hard, you know, very tough woman. You know, the opening scene of this comic book is her gutting elk that she's killed. But she finds out that her sister has been murdered in Washington, D.C. And she's been involved with some character unknown, some Washington insider. She's worked as a prostitute there. And Normandy goes to Washington, goes undercover as a call girl. And then this whole series, just her weaving through this Washington quagmire of crime and sex and all the scandals and stuff. And it's just extremely entertaining. And
now,
really,
you gotta let everybody know, when is it set, and why is her name Normandy Gold?
It's set in the 70s. It's the 1970s. And the name was given to her father was a World War II soldier, and her mother became pregnant while apparently either before he left or when he was on leave or something. So they had planned on naming her Victory, you know, as a, you know, just anticipating the victory of the war. Then her father was killed on the beaches of Normandy during the D-Day invasion. So her mother named her Normandy.
So was her last name Gold, or is that just the...
Yeah.
It was the Gold Beach at Normandy. Because wasn't that one of the name of the beaches?
I think so, Gold Beach, yeah. But that was one of the British, where the British landed, so... I think Gold was her last name in this, best I remember. Okay. But anyway, that's how she's going. But she's one of my favorite protagonists in comics. She is tough as nails, and she's good with about a 12-inch long buck knife. Don't mess with her because
Yeah,
and she's what I really like about her is she's not. What I really like about her is she's not afraid to do anything she has to. She goes in undercover as a prostitute, and she goes full bore into this world, doing whatever she has to do, and it doesn't bother her. You know, she's no nonsense. Does what she has to do, and she's going to find out the answers, no matter what.
No, so. It's not an ongoing, is it? So I think it's limited. I don't think it's finished quite yet.
No, it's not. 4 issues are out. I think the 5th one is coming out this month. We're in January now, so it'll be coming out this month, I think. I don't know what the number is or how many they're going to do, but it's not. I don't think it's ongoing. I've not heard that it is. But it's a standard length. It's not one of the expanded issues, so, and they're $3.99, the standard price. So. Mm-hmm.
But they have some awesome covers.
Yeah, they do a lot of variant covers, and they have some really nice ones.
But the quality's pretty good. It's a good read. I've been reading it and enjoying it. All right, so my number 6 for 2017 was Heathen from Vault Comics. They did a 4-issue arc, and I think originally this comic was solicited as a GoFundMe or a Indiegogo, or not a GoFundMe, but a, what's the other one? Indiegogo and I can't think of that other site where you can donate to projects. And I know everybody's yelling at me right now about what it is.
Quick Kickstarter?
Yeah, Kickstarter. Yes. I think it was a Kickstarter comic. And I don't know if it was originally, it might have gotten out there published, but then Vault Comics published. I think it was their first one they've done. I don't know if they've done anything in the past, but it was the first one to come out. And it was, you know, really, really pretty good. The first 4 issues did the arc. They came out with the 5th issue several months ago, and they haven't, you know, I haven't seen a 6th issue. So Vault was starting out pretty good, but now they're starting to get like Black Mask, where they kind of put out some stuff, and then you get months and months between issues. But they were consistently getting things out there at the beginning, so maybe there's still some hope for them. But, you know, Heathen's the tale of a Viking shield maiden. Would you call her a shield maiden or just a maiden? But she's been kicked out of her tribe under threat of death because of her alternate lifestyle. So she's supposed to marry a man, have a family and everything like that, and that's not her thing. So she then sets out on a quest to, you know, per the Viking legends, like the queen of the Valkyries had been imprisoned on top of a mountain by Odin for disobedience, and she's setting off to free her. And, you know, by the end of the 4th issue, she's freed her, but it's not all quite what she was expecting. And there's some other gods and goddesses that kind of come in and cause mischief and things. So the fifth issue in the next arc kind of takes off about the repercussions of that, and how Brunhilde, who's the queen of the Valkyries, is, you know, now trying to save our, and I cannot remember her name right now, our protagonist hero in it, but I'm trying to figure out how to describe the art. A lot of the art is where you've focused in the foreground on the characters, and the background is more unfinished or not even there. It's almost like, you know, everybody's in a continuous mist, except in certain scenes where it's called for and everything. But it's a really good story, really good art and color and everything. It's really nice stock paper. I know a big buzz at the time was these were coming out on thick stock, and people were sending them off to be slabbed, and they were coming back 9.9s and 10s. So people were just grabbing them up just because it was an opportunity to maybe get a 10.0 book from CGC, which is very rare to do. But, right. You know, that's from a speculation standpoint. My standpoint is it's a great story, and I'm eagerly anticipating issues 6, 7, and 8 and the rest of them to come out, and hopefully they will soon. But I'm afraid they may be going the way of black mask and I'll be left hanging.
Yeah, I kind of started, I didn't get that one, but I started another title by them, Spiritus, and like two have come out, and now there's been this big gap, and I think, yeah, they are tending to go the way of a lot. Well, Black Mask is the one I usually hold up, but there's quite a few publishers out there, independent small presses that have erratic release schedules. And anyway, I don't want to get off on that soapbox again, but it's really difficult when you're paying $4 for a comic book to get invested in a series, and then it doesn't, and it just stops on you. It's like I got too much other things I want to read that I know come out on, that I can rely on coming out, that to spend money on some things like that. So I'm starting to shy away from some of that type of stuff.
Which is kind of hard when we're supposed to be like looking at independent books.
Well,
out there.
Yeah. It is, but it's like, okay, we can wait for them to come out and trade that way, or as you are fond of pointing out to me and others on a regular basis, you have numerous titles you can get on Hoopla every month. So.
Yes, I do. And actually, I think last month I only used two of them.
Oh my gosh.
So I had eight.
Give me the ones you don't use. Wow. Wow. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I struggle with that too, because, yeah, we're supposed to be trying to look at these new books, but man, you can't buy everything, or I can't at least. It's difficult buying something not knowing when or if another issue is coming out, especially when you're shelling out $4. But that's neither here nor there for this discussion.
Yeah, agreed. So what's another of your top 10?
Another one of mine is Lady Mechanica, A Clockwork Assassin. This is, there's been several Lady Mechanica series come out by, it's the author is Joe Benitez, who did some work at DC, I think, on the Titans and even Superman, I believe. But he's created this. This is a very, this is steampunk. So if you're a fan of steampunk, you might enjoy this series. It's set in with Victorian dress. And Lady Mechanica is this woman who is part cybernetic. You know, one arm and legs are mechanical. But it's very steampunk-looking mechanical. You know, really crazy-looking. And she's somewhat of a detective, as well as well-adept at battle with swords. And this is another murder mystery in the line. A colleague of hers, some of his friends that he was in business with, started a business with, are starting to disappear and be murdered. So she's helping to find out. And this is only a 3-issue miniseries. The issues are a little bit larger than the standard. I think maybe 30 pages or so. But they're still at the $3.99 cost. And I liked it just because it's so different. You know, the setting, the Victorian steampunk, the crazy clothing, the gadgetry, the, you know, obnoxious looking gadgets. It's really a kind of a nice escape. And the story is good. It's not overly complicated, but it's just a fun read, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I think I remember you mentioning that, and I was going to see if I could find it anywhere, but I think it was sold out, so I'm gonna have to wait and see if I can find it in Trade or Hoopla or something.
Yeah, and he I forgot the what the he kind of self-published this. This is Benitez Productions puts it out, so he's self-publishing most of this stuff. And it's in good quality. This is good quality. It's not prestige format, as they call it, with the heavy stock covers, but it's still, it's on good quality paper. So it's not junk that they're putting out. And but it's one of those, yeah, you kind of have to look for it. It's not one of the titles that a lot of LCS will just put out just on speculation. You kind of have to order it or know what you're looking for.
Oh, so the publisher is Benitez Press?
Benitez Productions.
Oh, Productions.
B-E-N-I-T-E-Z Productions.
Okay. No, I remember seeing that, and I think a lot of the variant covers of, you know, people have been quite drawn to. It's pretty it's pretty artwork.
Yeah, it is. It's very nice artwork. I think the name of the artist was Chen. Yeah. So it's your standard style of comic book, but it's very well done, very detailed. And if you like I said, if you like steampunk at all, or just seeing, you know, interesting Victorian style dress and gadgetry, it's worth it. But that doesn't overwhelm the story. It doesn't. It's not about that type of stuff.
Okay, nice. All right, so my fifth book is from Titan Comics, Robotech. So this is a pure nostalgia read for me. I love this Robotech back in the 80s. That was, as some are wont to say, my jam. And this is a revisioning of it. It still seems to be following the major plot lines, but it's written by Brian Wood. I think he's also bringing on some others to kind of help write it. But it's following the main arc of Robotech, but they've made some changes, and I mean some severe changes, not little minor tweaks or anything like that, in some of the characters' personalities and interactions, and some of the repercussions on stuff. You know, I kind of wish the artwork could be a little bit better in the faces, but, you know, it doesn't take away from it as much, you know, to keep me from reading it. And I just look forward to this title every month because it just takes me back to the 80s. And, I mean, it's, you know, it's giant mecha. So you got the manga with the mecha. You got, like, F4 transforming planes. You got giant aliens. You're in space. You've got like kind of the space opera going on, and everything. And it's just they've kind of dropped the love triangles, which is great, which is awesome. It doesn't need to be CW, but I'm really enjoying this book. They come up with cosplay variant covers, and they've got action figure variant covers, which take me back and everything. And it's just all around good. And the colors pop on it, and I'm just really loving there. Like the issue 5, I think, just came out a few weeks ago. And I'm really curious to see kind of how they take the storyline. And usually what I found with Robotech, there's also been some other adaptions to it. It's like the first part, the Macross Saga, is the longest part of the entire series. And what you find is people, it'll start petering out. They'll only do that aspect. They won't go and do the second, the third acts of the whole story, which were the other mangas that got mashed into it to be Americanized, which the middle ones, in my opinion, but the third one's great too, and you never really see those adapted, so I'm really curious if they're going to be able to take it through the whole thing, or if they're just going to do the Macross Saga for Robotech. But coming out from Titan Comics, it's only like 4 or 5 issues in, and it's great. And I don't really want to talk about some of the changes they've made, because some of them are pretty massive. And if you're a fan of the series, you just won't believe some of the stuff that happens, like by issue 4 or 5, to some major characters. And since they did one issue, I'm wondering if they're going to change another fate of another character in there. And I'm highly anticipating that. So just some good stuff.
Nice. Well, another on my list is Jazz Maynard.
that's my number three.
Part of the Magnetic Collection of Lion Forge. This is a great, great book.
It's like prestige format.
It's prestige format.
The action sequences you can actually follow, so the artist is really great because a lot of action sequences you're kind of wondering what's happening, but not his. You kind of each panel you know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike Reap. I had to get my Reap dig in there. So this is a Spanish comic from out of Spain from a few years ago that is part of the Magnetic Collection from Lion Forge, which that particular imprint is that's what they're doing. They're getting foreign comics and licensing them. Ghost Money is another one that they're doing that we've talked about on a previous podcast. But this is Jazz Maynard is a jazz trumpetist who's also a extreme badass.
Master thief,
gets involved in espionage, underworld, just can fight almost on the level like he reminds me a lot of Batman the way he fights. I mean, he just could fight off a bunch of people at a time. And he gets kind of caught up in this. He goes back to the slums of Barcelona where he grew up. And his sister had been kidnapped and taken to New York City, involved with drug traffickers. And he's kind of been trying to get her out of that. And it just goes into this really sweeping story that kind of carries him from place to place. And this was originally a six-issue mini that's been, I know they released it in hardback. I'm not sure if it's the trade is out yet. But the second series of this is coming out in February, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a second series of it. But, yeah, it's just, yeah, good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah, and it amazes me what you eventually find the MacGuffin is that everything's revolving around.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of interesting, too, and gives you a little bit of U.S. history to boot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I highly recommend Jazz Maynard. It's I'm really liking some of the Magnetic Press stuff that Lions Forge is putting out. I think Jazz Maynard is at the top of the list in that selection of theirs. And like I said, that was number three on my list.
Very good.
I think you started reading it and you recommended it. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. And then I had to sit there and just finish it off because it was just so good. I mean, the only thing.
Yeah, because I remember I had to get you a couple.
Yeah, you had to find me a couple of issues.
I'm very fortunate. I have one of the best LCSs anywhere. And they do a lot of this stuff. They pick up a lot of stuff that a lot of other shops won't. And I found this one in there, and I got it based entirely on the name, like Jazz Maynard. I said, that looks pretty cool. And yeah, I just picked it up and picked up the first couple of issues, and then I went scrambling back to get the third one, which I think that was all that was out at the time. Because, yeah, and I told you about it. This is good stuff. Good stuff.
Yes. All right, so I jump into my number four, and that is actually a Valiant book, and that was Secret Weapons. I really enjoyed that, and it kind of took me back to the early days of Valiant. It felt like to me the way the style was and the way the characters were interacting and getting developed and everything. I read Valiant back in the 90s. I was getting it off the shelf, I think, starting right before the Unity crossover. So, while I wasn't there for the initial launch of Valiant, I was there early in the beginning, and Valiant's been kind of a sweet spot in my heart. And Secret Weapons kind of took me back to that time, just in the style and everything, and just in the writing and, the art and everything. So, very enjoyable book. Very enjoyable series. It was just four issues, but it developed. You introduced you to a lot of new characters. Developed them very well, and you actually cared for them and what was going on, and it was just, I can't know, say enough about it that hasn't already been said. Just a really good book, and I'm actually looking forward to they extended it by having some, they're coming out with some zero issues on the origin of the characters. I don't know if there's going to be a secret weapons, but I know they're probably going to be involved in the upcoming crossover Harbinger Wars 2, which I think eventually leads to, supposed to lead to like some Valiant movies down the line somehow, maybe, if we ever see it. I don't know. But, you know, a good classic,
yeah, that's
a big, good, classic Valiant feeling I got from these books. And I hadn't felt that from Valiant in a long time. And I was really, really happy with that.
I almost put a Valiant title in my top 10. That was Divinity 3. That was a good one, but didn't quite make my top.
Yeah, there was a bunch of Valiant titles running for my top 10. I mean, I'm actually liking Eternity better than I am the Divinities.
But
I'm a big Kirby fan, a New Gods fan, so it's kind of giving me those feels there. But I don't know. There's just so many other good books out there, and I mean, we're into my top three, top two now. So there were some heavy hitters for those. But what's another one of your titles?
Heavenly Blues.
Oh,
Ben Kahn. This is and Ben was a guest on one of our early podcasts, and he will be returning in the near future. So a little teaser there. But this is a really bizarre and interesting and clever book. It starts out by this character, Isaiah Tommy Gunn Jefferson, who's a 1920s mobster who gets killed and goes to hell. And he teams up there, or the people he finds, there's himself, an Egyptian grave robber, a Salem witch, and an outlaw from the Old West. Then they're approached by Gabriel, the Archangel Gabriel, who wants them to help him steal a treasure in heaven. So, and it gets crazy, but it's well written. And Bruno Hidalgo does the artwork for this.
It was approaching my top 10, but I've only gotten to issue 3. I don't think issue 4 has hit the stands yet. And I think if issue 4
has. Issue 4 has.
Oh, issue 4 has? Well, then I've missed it.
It's out, yep. 5 is coming out at the end of January or February, I bet. Is the best I remember.
Okay, because
now 4's are out.
Is just when they were getting to heaven. They just got into heaven, and they were just figuring out what the scheme was, what it was they were going after. And if we'd gotten past that point, I think it would have gotten in my top 10. But so far, all I've read of it is the setup. So.
Yeah.
But what I've read, I've thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, it's a good book. Go do it. And Ben is a crazy funny guy. I follow him on Twitter, and one of his tweets is just a chuckle. But it's definitely worth checking out. You can't go wrong with that book. So you have 2 left?
I believe I have 2 left. So my number 2 is Grant Morrison's 18 Days. And that's from Graphic India. And basically, this is Grant Morrison's interpretation of the great Eastern myth, the Mahabharata. So, I love stories, and this is almost like a creation. Nah, it's not really a creation story, but it's one of the. It's an Indian myth or legend, or I'm probably butchering that. It's probably more of their mythology of there's like ages of man. And this story is the war that ended the last age and started the new age that we're currently in. And this is where one of the myths that's frequently commented on, where if you read through it, it sounds like it's like a nuclear war from like 10,000 years ago, because they got Astra, and they describe all these chariots and other devices where if you start really looking at the descriptions, it sounds like, you know, fighter planes and air carriers and like modern weaponry and stuff. But this is the myth of how the super warriors, you know, fought and, you know, with the and basically kind of destroyed the world, and then the world had to be kind of reborn, and that's the current age we're in now. And every age ends, I don't know if it's like 20,000 years or whatever it is. So it's just a comic book telling of that whole, epic myth. You know, or just an epic. And I love mythology and such from other, you know, we all grew up with Greek and Roman mythology, but I like kind of looking into other cultures' mythologies and everything. And, you know, this, you know, it's written by Grant Morrison. So it's really, you know, it's pretty good. The art does well with the stories, but some of the cover art, they have paintings, which are just breathtaking in the color and the detail in them and everything. And the stories are pretty good. Now, it does delve into that whole, you know, the basic honor, you know, where, you know, the protagonists have one hand tied behind their back because they're honor bound to fight a certain way, where the antagonist isn't, and they're using demons, and, you know, and the protagonist, you know, have to be honorable and such. So you kind of get into that, I can't think of the word. Into that trope.
Yeah.
So, but it's a really good story. You just had one of the major turning points happen in the story a couple of months ago, and I think they're kind of on a few months hiatus to kind of build up some more issues in the can before they release some more. But, yeah, this is one of the books that usually go to the top of my list, my reading pile, whenever it comes out. I think they're at issue 18 or 19 now. And they've probably got 4 or 5 trade paperbacks out. But just really good. Thoroughly enjoyable.
Okay. Well, I've got 3 left on my list, so I'll do 2 here before we get to number 1.
So, all right, so we have the same number 1 and see.
Yeah. Well, before we get to number 1, though, I'll do these 2, and then we'll do – you said you had some honorable mentions. We'll do those before we do the number 1. But one of mine was, this is actually a graphic novel that came out in hardcover. It didn't come out as single issues. Roughneck, Jeff Lemire. I run out of superlatives used to describe Lemire's work because it is just so damned engaging to me. If anyone's read the book, Essex County, this is very much in the same vein as that. I think it's probably as good as Essex County. And that's a bold claim because that's one of the, to me, that's a top 10, maybe a top 5 all-time comic for me. But it's another story of similar. Some people call it a slice of life, which I hate that term. I hate that phrase because it's so cliche. But it's these two characters. One of them, Derek, who is an ex-hockey player whose career ended prematurely because of a violent injury. And he's been living kind of just on the edge, taking odd jobs here and there, getting into fights, living just angry and bitter. And he's been estranged from his sister for a number of years. And they're kind of circumstances bring them back together. And there's this really dark secret, family secret, that kind of slowly starts to get unveiled and unraveled as the plot goes on. But it's just, it's one of those books. I almost read the whole thing in one sitting. It's about 300 pages, something like that. Rarely can I get that engaged in the comic where I sit there for that long. But you get into the story and you don't want to stop. And Lemire's one of the best storytellers out there, in my opinion. I can't recommend this highly enough. And it's published by Simon & Schuster, but like I said, it came out at hardcover.
Well, I'll have to check it out. I hadn't heard of that and hadn't read it. I'm usually pretty
he's been getting
newer
a lot of
stuff.
Well, he got a lot of. I think where this one kind of came under the radar is it wasn't published in serial form. It just came out as this collected novel and by Simon & Schuster, which is not one of the typical comic publishers. So a lot of people didn't hear about it. He's gotten a lot of press with his series Royal City that was out, which almost made my top 10. Probably would have if I hadn't put this one on there, but this was just an outstanding read. And the other one, and this will probably go quickly, 2016 saw the return of Love and Rockets magazine by the brothers Hernandez. And that was, for those of us that are fans of Love and Rockets, it was nice to see it. Because just a little bit of history, the original comic book, which started in 82 into the early 2000s, was in magazine format. You know, the size and printing is magazine format. And then they went to a second volume, which was comic book style. And then they quit doing serial work and started putting out a collection just once a year in trade paperback called New Stories. And they wanted to get back to a little bit more regular release, although these are coming out about every 3 to 4 months. It's not real regular, but it's getting back. I'm an apologist for Love and Rockets, but it's hard for me to recommend it because it's not something that's easily, you just can't pick it up and start. Because the stories that they tell, especially Jaime Hernandez, Gilbert being his brother that writes most of the other work, his story has been of these two women, Hopi and Maggie. And this story has been going on for 35 years. It started out in 1982. They were young, 20-somethings, living in Southern California, living in the punk rock and wrestling world of as these two young Hispanic women. And they have aged as he has aged and this comic book has aged, and they're now into their 50s. So it's not, I would say you don't have to go back and reread everything in order to understand what's going on now, but it helps. And just picking it up cold starting right now would be difficult for anybody. So it's a shame because I would like to see more people get interested in it because it's one of the best comic books ever, and certainly one of the most influential. It's the book that brought underground comics kind of out into the open and really helped launch the alternative comic book world. I don't know that you would have something like Image Comics without the groundwork that was laid by Love and Rockets and a couple of other titles in the 80s. They really set the stage for independent comics to become something viable.
Yeah, even though I've never heard of it, I remember hearing about or read it, but I do remember hearing about Love and Rockets in the late 80s and the early 90s. I've just never had the opportunity because it was all magazine format, and I think they're kind of expensive now, so I'd have to hoopla it or trade it somehow.
You can do that. I mean, they have released collections of different types over the years.
I guess 35 years worth can be kind of intimidating to a new reader.
Well, that sounds more than it is. You would think for 35 years, oh my God. But the original run was only 50 issues, volume one, and then volume two was 20. And then they released, like I said, they started releasing just an annual trade paperback collection. They did 8 of those. So it's a lot, but it's not. It wouldn't be the same as like reading 35 years of Batman, where you'd have hundreds of issues. But it would be a little bit work going back and reading. But my God, would it be worth it, in my opinion. But some people, it's not a story that a lot of people, I mean, it just depends on what your tastes are. If you like that type of story, hearing, you know, following people's lives and, you know, some of these little bit quirky stories, it's a really good read. And it's really groundbreaking. So, I had to get Love and Rockets in there. I always have to get Love and Rockets.
Yeah, but it's only it's not only number two. For 2017.
Yeah, for 2017.
All right. So yeah, I'll do two quick of my honorable mentions, and you know they're both going to be Aftershock titles. So I'm really, and they just kind of this just came out of the offset when I originally sat down to do this exercise. You know, I just kind of went through previews for the past year, and this, oh yeah, I like that. Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that. I had 27 books, and so I had, you know, had to narrow it down to 10. So, which was kind of tough and everything, but some of the two of them that just came outside of my top 10 was Pestilence. I just kind of love the art for that book, and I love the premise where the Black Plague was actually a zombie plague in the medieval, and the interesting aspect of it is you get this group of knights that start out, and they're slowly being, maybe not even slowly, it's like we're on the issue 5, and they're just being decimated as they try to navigate this plague through Europe and fulfill their mission, and then they get remissioned, and then remissioned again, and it's just they keep losing members left and right and all that. So it's a really good read. And then the other is like Altars, which kind of takes me back, gives me, I'm a classic X-Men fan. I mean, that's my book I try to collect, and Altars kind of takes you back to that feeling of you know, the outsiders trying to fit in and everything, and it's got the modern twist where you've got a hero who's just newly discovered her powers and everything like that, her alteration, but then she's also transgender, so there's that aspect too, and then she's got a brother that's got he's got a brother that's got powers, but he's autistic or cystic fibrosis or something like that. And it was another one of those where the first arc where you had the villain and it just didn't seem there truly was no way it seemed that you could see where they could beat the villain, and they finally did, and it was creative and everything like that. And the second arc's dealing with some other social issues of homelessness and some other aspects of it, so it's just a really good read, and I kind of hate that they fell out of my top 10, but there's just such, when I sat down and looked at it, there was a pretty good number of books that came out this year, 2017, that I was quite impressed with and quite enjoyed. Yeah. But with those two and all that, there was none that I quite enjoyed more than my number one pick, which I suspect is kind of your number one pick, and that would have to be Terry Moore's Motor Girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Best comic of the year. Best comic in a lot of years for me. Yeah.
And it's only 10 issues.
Only 10 issues, but that was 10 damn good issues. And
I guess the only thing that bothers me about it is I did not get the ending until like you and Ronnie told it to me. And I'm just still kicking myself for not quite getting that. But what a read. What art. I mean,
yeah, it comes close as anything to being the perfectly crafted story. You know, Ronnie would say, I wish this could go on, but it really couldn't go on past about 10 issues. It really was a contained story, and it really drew you into this character. You really started to care about Sam. And what happened to her, and you know, it had so many elements. It was silly in places, deadly serious in other places, and you know, the story kind of went in all kinds of directions, and you had comic relief. You had these two kind of buffoon thugs that were involved, and you had evil government investigators, and it just, you know, whatever you like was in this story. And Terry Moore's art is impeccable. despite what some people might say. But
even though it is just, black and white.
To me, anybody that can evoke that kind of emotion with monochrome comics without relying on color to help with the emotion is a master. And Terry Moore is a master of art, comic art, any art. And I cannot say enough about this. It was like one of those books that you just could not wait for the next issue to come out. And you also knew, you dreaded it because you knew that 10 was going to be the end. So along about, 7, 8, and 9, you're just like, oh, I don't want this. I know this is going to end. And you're dreading the end because it didn't look good. It didn't look good for the protagonist, Sam. So, damn good book. Damn good book.
Yeah.
Can't recommend it. If you haven't read it, you really need to. You really need to read it.
And he just kept gut
punching. And it's out in two trades now.
Like after issue 3, it's like, gut punch. Oh, this is great. Gut punch. Oh, this is great. Gut punch. I mean, it was a roller coaster there for like the last 4 or 5 issues.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. But, again, yeah. Easy number one choice. It was like when I sat down to look at this, it's like, okay, there's Motor Girl and there's everything else.
With being 10 issues and it's not overly verbose, it's an easy read for everybody. You can sit down and read it in a sitting.
Yeah. And it is out now in 2 collections of trade. The first 5 issues in volume 1 and the second 5 in volume 2.
So I may have to. Well, when it comes out, deluxe hardback omnibus, all 10 issues in 1 hardback, then I may have to get that and then hunt down Terry Moore.
I
sign it and sketch me for a minute.
I'm hoping he's going to be at C2E2. I'm hoping he's going to be at C2E2.
Has he been in the
past? I don't know. I have to check.
What'd be awesome if you had.
I don't know if that'd be an omnibus out by then, though. A hardcover omnibus may not be out by then.
But I know what I'm doing if he's there and Sean Murphy's there.
Oh, my gosh. If those two are there, I'll probably just soil myself out of excitement.
Yes, if only you could throw White Knight on this list.
Yeah, well, like I said, Sean Murphy, as far as artists, he and Terry Moore probably are my two favorite contemporary comic artists working today.
Can't say enough about him. Well, that was entertaining. I hope everybody enjoyed.
That wasn't. That was
best of the rest. Best of 2017.
And there was less overlap than I thought there might be.
We
only really had 2.
Yeah, I was kind of going to get concerned that we were just going to have the same stuff over and over. But, we have similar taste, and we have other stuff that kind of diverges. A lot of my stuff is like nostalgia, history, myths, items. That's where the Star Trek, the Robotech, that kind of gives me my nostalgia. And then the mythologies, the heathen, 18 days, and war stories. And then you just got the fun reads of Shaolin Cowboy, Secret Weapons, and then the great storytelling of like Motor Girl and everything. So just some really good stuff being put out nowadays. It's just there's so much out there. It's just figuring out, what to find or read. Or you could do like some people and just buy everything and read everything.
Yeah. Ronnie does.
Of course, I am investigating. There's a comic shop in Wisconsin that I've heard, Cowabunga Comics, and they're starting to do a bundle where they'll do independent number one issues. You can buy like they'll give you five comics and they'll be at a discounted rate and they'll ship it to you. I haven't been able to find out anything online, so I'm going to have to like call them up and see what the deal is on that. But I was hearing that on somewhere else where they're going to have like the independent spec books where, hey, and I know they were listing some Black Mask stuff in it and Vault and Lion's Forge and all that kind of other stuff. But it may be a way to, kind of subscribe to it, get some, get some issues at a discounted price and try out something new.
Yeah. I have to look into that because I was using discount comic book services, DCBS, for a long time. And it is a great service for things like the Big Two, Valiant, Image, things that you know and can rely are going to come out. For the independent books, it can get kind of frustrating because, take Black Mass, for example. Previews will come out and say, okay, such and such title for Black Mass is coming out in October. So you do your order. And with DCBS, you pay for everything up front. So you pay for issue 3 of such and such from Black Mask, and then it doesn't come out. And then it doesn't come out for another month, and then another month. And you've paid for this. Now, if you take the time to contact DCBS, they will refund your money after. If it's not out in, think, by the second month, they will refund your money. But you got to write to them and ask them to do that. And it becomes a pain in the neck. And at one time, right towards the end of the year, I had like 11 books that I had paid for that had never shipped that I had to, you know, get refunds on. So it really became, you know, if you're looking for the really small press independent publishers, which tend to have a flexible release schedule, so to say, it can get kind of frustrating because you're paying for this stuff and you never know when it's coming out. And even Image, I mean, I had 2 issues of Southern Bastards that I'd paid for, and they just kept hanging on and not coming and not coming and not coming. So I'll be interested to see if keep me posted on that, because if there's another somebody come up with another plan that might work and save some money, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'll look into it and see, and then we'll let our listeners know what we find out.
Okay. Well, very good. Very good episode. Very good start to the year.
Yep, exactly. So I think it's about time to call a wraps on this. So I'd say you can hit me up on the Twitter machine at UTENGR, but I'm on there occasionally. I'm on about once a week or so, but I think you're on Twitter more at Jay Forgets.
At Jay Forgets. I'm out there every day. You can also tweet the show at BOTR Comics. I look at that daily. So.
And I guess we had an email.
What's coming up in the future?
Weren't getting any emails, so let that die off.
Yeah, I quit. Yeah, we never got a single email to there, so I quit.
So everybody sent
monitoring
emails.
It. I was like, I don't need another. No, don't. Just hit me up on Twitter or email Martin at Nerdy Legion. No, I'm teasing. But that'll wrap it up for this episode. I kind of teased coming up in a future episode, we are going to be talking with Ben Kahn again, our friend who writes Heavenly Blues. He's got a couple of new things coming out, contributing to a couple of anthologies. So he'll be a lot of fun to talk to. And other than that, we'll just wait and see what comes up.
All right.
And we'll see you next time.
All right, signing off.